There is such a issue of the balance of power. Will it shift from the majority back to the minority?
You know, I think there's a lot of sentiment out there that that could be a strong likelihood. We've seen in the past couple weeks a lot of challenges to petitions, not just, you know, standard challenges to petitions, which are not unusual, but really aggressive efforts calling voters, going door to door, issuing subpoenas, bringing these people into court. These are tactics that are not common even in races for higher office. So there has been a really well-organized and concerted effort across a number of different political and community factions to target these majority members. And going into this, Jim Sampson isn't appearing on the ballot. He'll be running as a write-in. One of the other majority-aligned candidates, Colleen Russell, also got knocked off the ballot. So really, the only ones tied to the majority directly that will appear on the ballot are Jay McCarthy and Carl Paladino. So, you know, that's just not a good lineup going into this.
And in both those races, they have opponents that have been out there doing their diligence in their campaigning.
Right. Even through the weekend, we're hearing, people living in the West District are getting phone calls almost every day from supporters of Jennifer McCosey. There were some last-minute mailers that went out, and candidates have been out there canvassing. I think people realize that in a lot of these races, it will really hang on who does get out to vote. And we know from previous numbers, my colleague Jay Ray had a story. Voter turnout is really typically very low in school board elections, so there does seem to be a big push among the different factions to try to get people to the polls. Whether or not that's successful, we should know, you know, a couple hours.
And as you said, Jay had a great chart in his story as well. He looked at the 2010 voting process. There was about 5%, 2013, a little over 9%, and I believe in 2014 it was about at 13%. So it's growing in slight increments, and then you look at some of the districts, and some of them have more voters than others.
It does seem to be interest-driven. I mean, I think a lot of people credit a few years ago when Carl Paladino ran for the Park seat. He's obviously a high-profile person coming off of his gubernatorial run. That probably got more people to the polls. When we covered these races 2 years ago, a lot of people really saw it as a referendum on Pam Brown. You did see escalated efforts in that race from the business community, a lot of money going into those races. So I think there was a lot more awareness at that level of getting people out. This year we may see the same thing, because along with the business community, which I think has increased its involvement, you know, this time around we saw the AFL-CIO, which doesn't typically get involved in school board races, some pretty high-profile people in the Democratic Party doing a really well-organized push to try to get people to the polls in support of certain candidates. So, you know, there are a lot of different entities involved, and all of those entities have connections to voters. So at the end of the day, whether people are, you know, willing to get in their car, drive to the poll and cast their ballot, you know, we'll see.
And here is what is at stake at this point. It's all about the struggling schools and what reform efforts have been moving forward in the last couple of years to change that. And then we have receivership, the law, thrown in the middle of all of this, and the power of the state education department over the superintendent.
Right. I think that, you know, that's going to be the next question that I'm sure everyone will be looking at in the next couple of days, is if the majority does change again, what's going to happen? You know, a couple interesting elements here. Superintendent Kreiner Cash came in as a unanimous vote. You know, let's not forget he was really Mary Ellen Elia's suggestion. He wasn't somebody that came here for the reform majority, or the so-called reform majority. So, and he has done a good job, it seems, kind of playing the middle. You know, I've sat through board meetings. He has no problem challenging people on both sides of this current board. You know, he does have a lot of powers under receivership, although that is obviously in court right now. But he seems to have his plan. He seems to have an intention of just moving forward with it. And a lot of the things he's trying to do, what's interesting about this is, for all the politics, some of the district's priorities, like community schools, lower class sizes, a focus on literacy, you hear candidates from both sides, all sides, saying they want to do this. So, you know, at the end of the day, even if the majority flips, it may not necessarily reset the trajectory of the district the way some people think it might or the way it did 2 years ago. You know, even the push for charter schools has kind of diminished. There was a big focus on that in the majority's first year. It didn't really go anywhere. The big issue I think that this election will influence is the teacher contract. There's some pretty hardball proposals on the table right now. I would imagine if the majority does flip, you'll probably see some softer offers put out there to try to settle this long, lingering issue.
Tiffany Linkus, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.